We praise God for this blessed opportunity to be here. And we want to thank the assembly and the elders for inviting us to this place. Last Wednesday, I had the privilege of ministering God's word with all of you, and especially this morning, I'll be sharing a few things about the work that we are involved in. Thank you for permitting me to do that, because normally we don't do that on Sunday. But still, thank you for the elders who have suggested me to present it on Sunday here. And after 15 minutes of that presentation, I will be ministering God's word. Few things I want to share about our great land, India. These are informations I'm giving so that you can intercede meaningfully. Then you can involve in the work of the Lord. Now, many a time we do have wholesale prayer. We pray for India, we pray for whole world, and we pray for sometimes all the sick people around the world. I don't think that is right. Our prayer should be specific, and we need to have some information for that. This morning I feel like sharing so many things about India, but I know that my time is limited. So I'm sharing these things so that you can get some information, then you can intercede and involve in the work of the Lord. When we share about our country, it's a great country, different group, people groups. When we travel from one village to another, the language is different, the food is different, culture is different, and well, everything is different. So we have different people groups in India. The first thing I want to share about our country is the population growth. Exploding every day. This is 2011, you know, statistics. Today is more than 1.3 billion people. By 2020, India will overtake China. And Indians are very good in populating. Population is very good in India. Now, by 2020, one in five people in the world will be an Indian. If others like it or not, that's going to be in by 2020. Now, one in seven people are an Indian in the whole world. So the ministry in India is a big challenge. Two states alone in India, we have 29 states. Two states alone have more than America's population. So the challenge is more. We have more than 2,500 assemblies in all over India. And we live in northern part of India. And especially we travel three states, Bengal, Bihar, and Jharkhand. So few people who are sitting here, you might be knowing the others. For you, some of the words may be foreign to you. Please forgive me and bear with my accent. So we are going to learn something about our country. Five states in India. You have UP, Maharashtra, Bihar, West Bengal, and Andhra Pradesh have half of Indian population. So you can imagine the Indian population, how it is spread all over India. One state in India has more than Pakistan's population. Can you imagine that? One state in India, Uttar Pradesh, has got more than Pakistan's population. The second challenge is the literacy status in India. When I went to Bihar, the literacy rate was only 47%. Now it is growing. The statistics says it is 74, whole country India. And my state, Kerala, has got the highest literacy. That is also by the contribution of Christian missionaries who educated us. So we stay in a country, we stay in a state where we people, half of the people sometime, they don't know how to read and write. That is the biggest challenge that we face in the ministry. How will you share the gospel? How can you give a tract? They don't know how to read and write. How will you share the gospel with them? They don't have New Testament available. They don't have even portion of the Bible available in their language. Thirdly, the most unreached people groups in the whole world, India has the maximum. 2,128 people groups. I'm talking about people groups, tribes and different castes. Different people groups have never heard the gospel. There are many reasons for that. I don't want to share all those things. Sometimes transportation is a big challenge. Sometimes literacy problem, superstitions, So many other reasons. So more than 2,128 people. These are the five countries in the whole world, maximum unreached people groups. In some people groups, we have only 5,000 people. And some people groups, we have more than 500,000 people. So you got to pray, especially for the country. This is the core North Indian states. We call it Bimaru. Bimari, you know, in Hindi, Bimari means sickness. And this is the most sick state in India. Five states: Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, and Uttar Pradesh. We call Uttar Pradesh as Ulta Pradesh because it's everything going Ulta, you know, opposite. So you got to pray for Uttar Pradesh, especially because the present chief minister is a monk. He is a sannyasi. And he is ruling that state. So the Christians in that state going through difficult times. So specially pray for these five states that you see here. And we stay in one of those states. Now, gospel reached India in AD 52. That's what history says, tradition says. One of the disciples of the Lord, Thomas, came to Kerala, India. When India heard the gospel, America was not even found. Don't get angry at me. When India heard the gospel, the Europeans were worshipping monkeys and snakes. Gospel reached India in AD 52. But still, 2011 statistics says it is 2.3 Christians in India. So what a great challenge we have. Well, I don't know. Well, that is not clear. It's clear here. This is just a statistics for you. An idol is equal to 5,000 Christians. This is just a statistics. To certain extent, this is right. Because you have some light in Kerala, in major cities like Bangalore, Hyderabad, Delhi, and northeast states, you have little light, but most of them are nominal Christians. And I will show you. And I had the privilege of traveling to these northeastern states in the past. And there are many nominal Christians. Names Christian, they go to church, but regenerated ones, the converted ones, the born-again Christians are very few. This is how the Indian map, you look at the northern part of India. There is darkness, not even one person Christians in many, many districts. The district that I stay, not even one person Christians you can find. So what a great challenge we have. And as you pray these days, pray meaningfully and visit some of these missionaries who are serving the Lord in difficult terrains. I am from Kerala and I left my place 17 years back, 3,000 kilometers away from my hometown. And I'm staying in a cross-cultural place and we are surrounded by a particular tribe. I'm going to show you that place now. Now, that particular state is called Jharkhand. After the bifurcation of the state Bihar, we are in Jharkhand today. Now, we have 24 districts in the state. 15 districts have no assemblies, no evangelists, and some of the districts you can't even travel because the Maoists are very active. You can't find police in some of these districts because they also work in civil dress. They are afraid of the Naxalites, the anti-social people. We call them Maoists. So in some of these districts, you can't travel alone. You can't travel in the night. So you go to pray for Jharkhand. 75% of the state is jungle area. That is why these antisocial people, they have a kind of guerrilla warfare system. They attack the government, they attack the police, they attack the leaders, and there is literally speaking, there is anarchy in many, many districts. So these are the Santal tribals. In cold season, they sleep on the hay, and they don't have any electric blanket that you have, and they don't have any kind of warm clothes. Sometimes they sleep on this. The another problem that we have in our state is India has the coal mines in our area, Dhanbad, Asansol, and that belt, we have maximum coal mines, and the coal mafia is very strong, and we are surrounded by these people. Pray for Bihar. Bihar is known as the graveyard of missionaries. Before the Brethren Assembly, missionaries reached Kerala and Andhra. They came to Bengal. They came to Bihar because that was the capital of India. I don't know whether you know about it. Calcutta was the capital of India before, till 2011. 1911. till 1911, Calcutta was the capital. And that was the headquarters for the East India Company. So the brethren missionaries, they focused the work, but you don't find even 1% Christians. That was not a fertile land for the gospel. Still people are living in superstition, not educated. Children don't go to school. That is the condition. So we have the missionaries who died in our land, and I'm going to show you some of these graves, and that is why Bihar is known as the graveyard of missionaries. We have 38 districts, 22 districts have no assembly, no evangelists, and in Bihar alone we have more than 15 evangelists from Kerala. They are left all their comfort zone in Kerala and they are working for the Lord. Now this is our train journey. I feel like sharing a story, but I have no time. First come, first serve. Whether you have reservation or not, they don't care. It is first come, first serve. Sometime they travel even on the train also. Now this is our Volvo buses. Traveling is a big challenge there. You travel with family. Oh my, you will have to fight with some because you won't get the place. Now this is another problem in those three states. That is why these three states are the most backward states in India, because they are ruling in many, many villages as parallel governments. They don't follow the government rules. Now, this is the sweetest state in India, Bengal. We stay at the border of West Bengal, and our Bible school name is Bengal Bible Training Institute. And most of the evangelists who work in the states have studied in our small Bible school. We have 19 districts there. 9 districts have no assemblies and no evangelists. This is the famous Howrah Bridge, and you must see this place at least once in your lifetime. And if you go, you will not go again. Now, this is northeast part of India. We call them as the Seven Sisters. Well, there are many nominal Christians there, but the born-again Christians are very less. We have the freedom to share the gospel. If you are a Christian, you will be received there. They will give you good hospitality. They will hear the gospel, but the lifestyle is so poor, and they say that they are Christians. We have all these states, we have missionaries from Kerala. And traveling almost 4 days from Kerala, you have to reach this place. And we get most of the students from this area. And 30 years back, three men of God started the Bible school. And we get the students especially from this area. Uncle Shenoy, I had the privilege of working with him for 5 years. And he spoke Bengali better than a Bengali. But all the South Indians are called as Madrasis there. I don't know whether you know about it. They don't know where is Madras. They don't know where is Kerala. They don't know where is Andhra. All South Indians are Madrasis. So there is so much of cultural barrier. They look at me, if they hear my language, my accent, suddenly they would say, this fellow is come from South. Hindi mein aisa ek shabd bolte hain, dharam parivartan ke liye aaye hain. That means, you have come here to change our religion. That is the first impression about a South Indian in northern part of India. So, 30 years back, three men of God started a small Bible school, training the native young people for the Lord's work. This is my place in Jamtara. People sometimes, this is just the road in front of our Bible school, and they sit on, the other day one brother came from Kerala and asked, brother, do you have to pay, a ticket for traveling on the bus? I said, the ticket more you have to pay because it is full AC on the top. Inside it is very hot. So people prefer traveling sitting on the bus there in villages. So this is our downtown area, Jamtara. It's a small village. And when I reached there in 99, after 6 o'clock, you won't find any shops. You don't get anything in that small village. But the Lord has changed over the years. And these three men of God who are instrumental starting this Bible school 30 years back. And one is late George Kurian, Alexander Kurian uncle's own brother who passed away in 1992. And he is instrumental with Uncle Shenoy. He was a Brahmin convert. And Uncle Samuel Kurian is still alive. He's with his children in Minnesota. And they are in their old age. So these three men of God, they knew, they were from Kerala. They knew that there is so much of cultural barrier. We share the gospel in Kerala, a plate or a cup, they will never receive. So we need to entrust the word of truth to the faithful men from that land, from that place. And only they can continue the work of the Lord. And the Lord expanded the work. We had only 6 students in the first batch. Till this day, 180 young people studied there. And I joined this work in 1999. I had the hidden agenda that I will work there for 2 years, then I will do my higher studies. And with my another brother came. We both were there. And we decided that we will work there for 2 years. Then we will go for our higher studies. That brother just finished his PhD from Dallas Seminary yesterday. In fact, one of my purposes visiting this place was his desire from last 2 years. Brother, you should attend my graduation. Yesterday, there was a wonderful graduation ceremony in Prestonwood Chapel, something like that. Yeah, so I attended that conference or the graduation there, and my brother and my friend, who we both went there together to serve the Lord. And he took PhD for me at least. Praise the Lord for that. And this is the campus we transformed. It was a haunted place. And this is the missionaries who stayed there, who served the Lord. And the last missionary left in 1989, handing over the property to BBTI, the Bible school. And we developed this place. And it's a beautiful campus. And it was not like that before. And whatever resources the Lord gave us, and we made this place a comfortable place for students who can come and study from different states around. And you travel around, you will see a rugged place, but the Lord has transformed this place because God's people stay here. I'm going to go fast because time is very limited. And the main ministry is training young people for the Lord's work. No leading without reading. I studied class 1 to 10 Sunday school. That was equivalent to BTH in VSA. Then I spent almost 8 years in studying in 2 seminaries. But northern part of India, that is not the condition. Some of them have no, they don't have even proper education in the school. They don't go to school even in their childhood. They go for looking after their cattle. The parents, they never want their children to study. That is their condition. So we have different batches. We have more than 15 batches gone by. Thousands of young people came and studied. It was only for the brothers. So you can see different batches here, different people groups. And in December, we had a wonderful get-together. All the graduates came who are in the field, and they came with their family and different tribes studying God's word. So training is very much needed before we go and serve the Lord. It's very much needed. And that's what we are doing, entrusting the word of truth to faithful men. And different batches go out and serve the Lord. And in a small way, we channel help for them, both, you know, giving them literature, going and spending time with them. And in different way, we help these brothers. And we conduct youth Bible study for these young people who come to the Lord through our graduates. And every year, we conduct special Bible study for these brothers. And that is very much needed. And the new assemblies are very active there. Vibrant assemblies. Our brothers who have gone to work for the Lord, and they established new assemblies. And though all those assemblies are very active, and God's servants from different parts of the world, they come and help us in teaching. And we especially focus on the young people. And most of the teachers who come and teach there, they are young people. We are not against the old flocks. But still, we see that everywhere, young people. You go for ministry. You go for ministry, any villages. Young people, children, everywhere. Some of these children, they don't go for their basic education also. It's a big challenge. So it's one of the, you know, channels that we approach villages, different people groups. We go and conduct children's camp, children's club, and our brothers, we give special training for working among the children and teaching them action songs and meeting children. And we give them tuition sometime. And some of these children, they never go to school. There are children, young people listening to me this morning. What a great privilege for us to be born in Christian families. I praise God for my parents were farmers, but still they taught me God's word when I was a small child. And some of us who are born in Christian families, what a great privilege for us to be educated and to learn godliness, learn the Bible. But some of these children, when we go to the villages, what a pathetic condition is that. What a pathetic condition. And some of these children, they never go to school. And when we look at them, when we look at their eyes, you know, you see that innocence. They don't have a privilege to go to the school and to be educated. Please pray for all these children who cannot go to school and they don't have the privilege of going to school. Still, we have the freedom to preach openly. In Kerala, we don't have. But in Bengal and Bihar, in Jharkhand, We go villages with the vehicle and the team. And we share the gospel and still we have the freedom. This is the Mercedes car in Bihar. Sometime, you know, in the flood season, you know, the people travel on buffaloes and, you know, cows and, you know, the oxen's back. And still we have the freedom to preach the gospel. And we have so many brothers in different people groups to share the gospel in their language. Language is one of the major barriers. If you do not know the local language, they will never receive you. You are an outsider. So we have brothers in different languages who are sharing the word of God in their own language. Now, the first missionary who came to that place, he died in 1872. I told you I went there to work there only for 2 years. This was one of the inspirations that I remained there. And what prompted for these missionaries to come there and die? And they have buried their children. I was a history student in my college days. After reaching there, I did a research on the missionaries who came and worked there. And I found some of them were from England. Others were from Sweden, Norway. And they left all their comfort zones and came there. And they died there 145 years back. Today, we don't want to stay there. And what would have been the condition of those missionaries? And that gave me the challenge. Lord, you have given me the resources, language, health, education. Still, I don't want to stay here. And they died there. When I studied that, you know, due to 4 sicknesses, the missionaries died. They died there. Typhoid, malaria, pneumonia, and diarrhea. No medicine. And they have buried their infants there. And that was a big challenge for me. Lord, you have given me so many things. Why I am not staying here? Why I should study more? Why? What is the purpose? What is the motive? And that gave me the challenge to continue the work of the Lord there. Uncle Shinoy passed away in 2004. He struggled a lot. And Lord, you gave me more resources than him. And why I am not staying there? And many threatened me, my own family said, come back. Come back to your hometown or go for your higher studies. But and my own brothers who are working in Middle East told me, fellow, you won't get a girl from Kerala if you continue the work there. But Lord's plan was something different. Lord sent a girl all the way from Middle East who was brought up there for the mission work. And she started working among the women. And we started a separate training for the sisters. And that was a big challenge. Something for the sisters. Last many, many years, almost 25 years, only for men we had. Many sisters camps we conducted. And we have done nothing for the women. And assemblies do nothing for the women. Women are looked down. You travel to any assemblies, you go to any assembly, 75% women and only 25% men. And that gave us the burden to do something for the women. And we developed a separate campus. And we invested all the resources, God's people's, you know, sometime 100 rupees, sometime 1,000 rupees. We started the work developing a campus. And today we have a building like this, separate for the women, just similar to Sodari Bhavan in Kollam. And we have different batches. More than 1,110 sisters came and they studied God's word. That was the first batch in 2003. And we continued the work. And the Lord sent more sisters. And we have a regular class for them now, apart from BBTI for men. This is a separate program, separate study, and separate from BBTI, but under the same Bible school. This is the present batch. Present batch means in February they passed out, and we not only teach them Bible, we give them some vocational training also. It is women who run the family in many, many states in northern part of India. So we understand that empowering them with not only God's word, training them computer and also tailoring and other vocational training. It's a big challenge. And all the sisters who are sitting here, you can come as a team and spend some time with them and teach them whatever you are able to teach. Sometime Bible, sometimes some professional courses. And it's a big challenge. And you can bring these assemblies. And now we feel that we should have started it 50 years back so that we may have some wonderful godly women in northern part of India. If I am in the ministry today, my assembly, we had some godly women. We call them amachis. Still, when I go to my hometown, my assembly,
They come and pat me and say, Santosh, we are praying for you. I have not seen one sister in northern part of India when I went there. If I am in the ministry today, we had some godly women who are praying for the mission work in my assembly, and I praise God for them. And if we don't train them, if we don't teach them, who should teach them? Who will teach them? So that was the challenge that we have taken upon. 3 years back, we started a regular program for them. And as an assembly, please pray for the work of BBTI regularly. Regularly, as an assembly, please pray. Secondly, pray for all the evangelists who have gone out of our Bible school and serving in different difficult terrain. Thirdly, pray for the sister center. And fourthly, that's a very important prayer matter. You can't conduct a worship service in a rented building in many places in these states. People will not allow you. That's a big challenge. In many places, assembly halls are needed. Not big, huge assemblies. Sometime, you know, $5,000, you can make an assembly hall. $5,000, you can make an assembly hall. You can't imagine here. So it's a big challenge for us as an assembly. Please pray. Thank you for receiving me here. Many times people say you don't show your family. Thank you that you have received me here. I'm married and I have 3 children. And she came to the mission field all the way from Muscat. She grew up in Muscat, studied there till graduation. And she just left that place to be with me after the marriage. And she has been a great challenge for me, even how she survived there for the last 15 years. And the Lord gave us a wonderful family, 2 boys and a daughter. And I request the assembly to pray as we serve the Lord and training young people for the Lord's work. And I spend most of my time spending with young people. Well, as I told you, my accent may be hard for you, but we use more than 5 to 6 languages. So please forgive me if you don't understand when I speak from the word. As you have seen this, you have a great challenge praying for India. Now, in some of these North Indian states, we have the chief ministers and the authorities are trying for free Christian districts. And the present government at the center is anti-Christian. They have a political face, but the hardline Hindu groups are controlling it. People who are from Kerala and southern India, you may not understand what I'm talking, but I feel it every day there. But we don't know how long we will stay there. When the Lord tells me to leave that place, I will surely leave. But still we have a bunch of young people who can continue the work there and pray that the Lord may continue the work in that part of the world. And thank you for receiving me here. And thank you for praying for us. And I'll be here in US for coming 4 or 5 weeks more. And thank you for receiving me here in this assembly. And we want to thank the elders for especially giving me this opportunity. I know you have a pattern, you have a program schedule. But still you have given me time to present the work and also to minister the word. And we want to thank all the believers in the assembly. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I will read the first few verses. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians is one of my favorite books in the Bible, because it talks about the preeminency and the all-sufficiency of Christ. You study any Pauline epistles, first few chapters he deals with profound theological issues. Then last few chapters dedicated for the practical application. Study 2 chapters of Colossians, you have Christology. Christ is the preeminent one. Look at chapter 1 verse 17. It says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Look at chapter 2 verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness Godhead bodily. You study first 2 chapters, you find profound Christological matters, theological issues are touched here. He is the first begotten. He is before all things. He is all by him, through him, and he has created all things. That's what we see in chapter 1 and 2. When you come to chapter 3 and 4, you see some practical application. That is the same pattern in every Paul and epistles, you know. Doctrine and duty. Believe and behave. Creed and credentials. You have both doctrine and practice. True Christianity is both believing and behaving. We need both. You look at chapter 3, verse 1. If you then risen with Christ. Now, for a Bible student, the first word is a connective word. If you then, it's a poor rendering. If you check NIV or some other translation, you will see, since you are risen with Christ. You see the preceding verses in 120, you are dead with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. In Galatians, we are crucified. In Ephesians, we are seated in the heavenly places. When you come to Philippines, you are citizens of heaven. When you come to Colossians, you are dead with Christ and you are a resurrected being. Dead, crucified, seated, and we are citizens of heaven. And today, we are resurrected beings. Ephesians 2:1. We were dead in sins and trespasses, and the Lord has raised us from there. Today, we are resurrected beings. Though we live in this mortal body, you and I are resurrected beings. Do you know your standard, my dear brothers and sisters? The Bible says we are the children of God. We are resurrected beings. We are reconciled with Father. There are many prerogatives, privileges given for us. But the biggest challenge for us, we forget who we are. Sunday when we come to the assembly, we are reminded. Wednesday we come for Bible study, we are reminded. The rest of the days when we go out, we are God's children. What a great privilege is that. The young people who are listening to me, we have more challenges, I understand. But many a time, we forget who we are. Who are we? Imagine if we are children of Indian Prime Minister or American President. You will always keep that standard. Yes, my father is American President. I will keep that standard in my life. Forget about it. Who are we? We are the children of the Most High God. We need to keep that standard in our life. The Bible says we are risen with Christ. What a privilege is that? Though we live in this mortal body, you and I are resurrected beings. And Paul gives some practical application in the following verses. Since you are risen with Christ, what we must do? The first exhortation. Look at verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Since we are risen with Christ, the first exhortation is, we need to put up our mind on things above. You know what is our biggest problem? Our biggest challenge is, many a time we are downward instead of upward. We want the earthly things. We want the transitory, momentary things. We don't want heavenly things. The Bible says, since you and I are resurrected beings, children of God, put up your mind on things above. My sister's son, only one sister, and she has 15-year-old child, both kidneys are failed. On dialysis two times in a week. And I had the privilege of entering into an ICU when he was admitted there. And I saw someone ventilator, dialysis. And still he is on dialysis. And I had the privilege of entering into ICU. First time. When I went there, I saw the board ICU. And someone said, it is not intensive care unit. It is ICU, Lord, from here. When we are okay, when we have money, when we have health, when we have resources, when we have every privileges, we don't need God. But when things go wrong, we need God. All other time we are downward. We need the pleasures. We need the privileges. We need all the earthly things. We are entangled with this. You know, I often travel to northeastern states. I have shown you. And their favorite food is pork. I don't know any of you have gone to Manipur, Nagaland. They eat so many other things. I don't want to mention here. And pork, it's a favorite food. You know? Have you seen how they catch a swine? Have you observed swines in northern part of India? You will find everywhere dirty swines, everywhere. Have you ever observed the swines? They never look up. Always they will search for the garbage, dirt. They will search for all the dirt. They will never look up. What garbage I can get from here? What dirty thing I can get from here? What enjoyable thing I can get from here? That's what swine always looks. Don't feel bad. But once the swine looks up, you should see how these people catch a swine. 4-5 people hold them and tie them, 4 legs, and they carry on the bamboo. You know, this is a usual scene in northeastern part of India. They carry, that is the time the swine looks up. But time is over. By the time is over, what garbage I can get from Dallas? What garbage I can get from America? What garbage I can get from this earth? That is the biggest challenge. I'm not going to come, you know, so I don't mind. I see Christians living. Many a time we are downward. Many a time we are earthward. We don't put up your mind on things above. First time when I was flying, you know, it was from Calcutta to Dubai. I was going for a meeting. 2011. Royal Brunei flight coming to Calcutta from there to Dubai. First time. I have never entered into a flight. As a small boy, I would go to Trivandrum and see my brothers coming from abroad. I used to take the ticket and go to the balcony and the gallery, and I used to see how this huge metallic piece comes and lands and takes off. Well, that was a miracle for me. First time as I was entering, it looked like a banqueting hall. Calcutta is a very hot place. So as I entered, it was full AC. I got a window seat. I got the belt, and they spoke something in Arabic or English, and the flight took off. I was so excited, first time. And I got a window seat and looked down. I saw big buildings, very small. Hooghly River looked like a very small river. The largest highway in India, Grand Trunk Road, looked very small. The flight took on a higher ground. I looked down. The gigantic buildings, the Tata lorries and the trucks looked very small, like toys. I went on a higher ground, looked down. I saw big mountains and rivers. Very small, very small. And the flight took on a higher ground. I looked down. I could not see anything. You know why? I was flying in the sky. That's what the Bible says. Put up your mind on things above. Look at things from heavenly perspective. Look at things from heaven. Do not be confined, entangled in the things of this world. That's what the Bible says. The first exhortation. Since you are risen with Christ, put up your mind on things above. Let me simplify and tell you, the young people who are sitting here, what are your priorities? What are your priorities? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be, the Bible says, added unto you. But when you study a word study on that, you will see it is not added unto you. The literal translation should be all these preceding things, food, shelter, clothing, and other things, the necessities of life will follow you, will chase you. You don't have to go after these things. We are running after these things. But I'm speaking from my own life. 17 years back, when I was leaving my hometown, I went with this Bible. My assembly, home assembly, gave me 3,000 rupees. And I went with that. And all other things, the Lord, not just adding, all other things followed me. All other things chased me. you will not have a place to keep if you have a proper priority in your life. That is the first exhortation. This morning, the Spirit of God wants to tell us, since we are risen with Christ, put up your mind on things above. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall follow you and chase you. You don't have to go after these things. What are your priorities? Young people, what are your priorities in your life? You will not accomplish anything in your life if you have a wrong priority in your life. Thank you for listening. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Many a time we have a wrong priorities in life. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as the Bible says, all these things shall be following us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts once again. Many a time our priorities are more earthly, downward, and these momentary, transitorial things. Forgive us, Lord. As an assembly, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for giving us a time to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you for giving us a time to see the work in India. Father, help us to pray earnestly and meaningfully so that in the days to come, we as an assembly, we may be missionary-minded, evangelistic, and also we will give proper priority for the work of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the elders and the deacons and the believers of this assembly. Continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for hearing us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I think I have taken 1 minute extra. Please.